Hello, and welcome to Plants and Things, where we talk about all things plants. My name is Katie, and I'm a hobbyist gardener. I appreciate you for listening, whether you are new or old to my podcast. June is coming to an end, and July is right around the corner. Hopefully, you've been able to harvest some of the delicious summer crops you've grown, like tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, and don't forget the delicious summer squash. It's a very hot month for us here in Appalachia during July, so I wanted to share some of the things that you can do to help your garden thrive during those hot days. If you live in a zone that is hot during July, I recommend to focus on proper watering, maintenance, and harvesting. It's essential to ensure that your plants receive adequate water during the hotter months of the year, so I recommend watering deeply and infrequently, preferably in the morning, to allow your plants to absorb moisture before the heat of the day, especially in raised beds, which tend to get drier quicker. You can also focus on moisture retention by mulching your gardens with a layer of wood chips, hay, or whichever organic mulch that you prefer. Mulching also helps to moderate the soil temperatures, keeping the root system cooler during extreme heat. Mulching will also help suppress weeds or plants that can compete with the valuable resources that your plants need, like water. If you do have unwanted plants coming up even though you've mulched, I recommend pulling them carefully so as not to disturb the soil and the root system of your established plants, if possible. I know sometimes it's difficult because those roots tend to get tangled up, but if possible, definitely pull them gently. If you live in an area that experiences extreme heat or you're in a drought, you may want to consider providing some shade to plants that are getting overheated and or are more delicate and showing signs of too much sun or showing signs of being like wilted or things like that. So shading cloths is a great way to do that. You can even use a sheet as a shade cloth if you poke some holes in it. I've seen some people do that before, and hey, if it works, it works. Now, hopefully all of those things will help protect your plants during some of the hottest weather that we're going to have this year. However, a stressed plant is more susceptible to pests and diseases, so keep an eye out for those, especially during the hot weather whenever plants tend to be more stressed. I recently saw some aphids on my butterfly bush, and I went ahead and I bought some ladybugs to help manage those pests. Ladybugs will eat aphids and won't harm your garden. However, not all plant problems are caused by insects. So look out for any signs of rust spots, rot, or yellowing of your plants and treat accordingly. If it looks like it's a disease, prune the dead or diseased leaves and try to prevent that from spreading to your other plants or your other leaves. It's also good to deadhead flowers to promote more flower growth. However, sometimes yellowing of leaves can be an indication of a lack of nutrients in a plant, so don't forget to keep up with the fertilizing your garden accordingly as well. So if you've been fertilizing regularly, keep that up. If you haven't been, and you just mulch, that's totally fine too. Just keep an eye out for any of those signs of nutrient deficiencies. And if you are fertilizing, keep an eye out for nutrient toxicity as well. I have another episode that goes over that in more detail if you're interested in that. Finally, I want you to enjoy your garden. Don't forget that part. It's the most important part about having a garden, in my opinion, is enjoying it. Hopefully you're harvesting tons of delicious foods and beautiful flowers. As you start emptying space in your garden, you can also start planting fall crops in their place. But I might wait until it's a little bit closer to the end of the month to do any greens. Remember that specific gardening tasks may vary depending on the microclimate within the zone and the specific plants you're growing. It's always helpful to consult with a local garden center's extension offices, or even if you know an experienced gardener in your area, for more region-specific advice. Now, for one of my new favorite segments that we have at this podcast, it's time for fun facts. So, watermelon plants belong to the, and I hope that I pronounce this correctly, and if I do not, please forgive me, the cucurbitaceae. That is a really hard word to pronounce. I'm not really good with Latin names, so I apologize. But they're part of that family, which also includes cucumbers, pumpkins, and squash. So it's really interesting to know that those are all related and that those plants are known for their trailing vines that can spread out over a large area. Watermelons have a tendency to wander and can cover a significant portion of the garden if left unchecked. So if you're growing watermelons, make sure to provide them with plenty of space to crawl or sprawl, or consider using a trellis or supports to keep the vines a little bit more organized and a little bit more neat. If you do that and you have larger watermelons, you may need to provide them with supports as they're growing. I've seen some people use like grocery store bags. If you're using a trellis, just like to tie it up and hold that fruit while it's growing, you can do that. Or it's totally fine if you want to leave it down. But it's really fascinating to see how these plants can take over a garden with how much they grow. Thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe to my podcast and leave me a review. Your feedback helps my podcast grow and continue bring you valuable gardening insights. Join our gardening community by following me on social media, where you can share your gardening stories, ask questions, and connect with fellow plant enthusiasts. Together, we can cultivate a vibrant community dedicated to the love of gardening. Until next time, continue digging into the joys of gardening. Happy gardening. Bye.